The title of this lecture is Prophetic Events 1996 and Beyond. It is the lecture for April 1996. There are key landmark prophecies that all of us who love the teachings of God's holy word want to be aware of and we want to heed. Prophecy, or the fulfillment of prophecy, is one of the key means by which God proves himself to you, to me, and to the entirety of the world, including angels, we are told in the scripture. One of the essential evidences of God is his ability to give clear and plain fulfillments of his prophecies, prophecies which he has uttered hundreds, if not thousands, of years in advance, and to bring them to pass exactly in the manner in which he has decreed. God will restore, we are told in the Bible, at the end of the age, that is the age in which we are now entering, the prophetic environment once again. We are told that all things are going to be restored, all things mentioned in the Holy Scripture, and one of those things happens to be prophecy. Prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy happens to be a very important ingredient in the understanding of the Holy Scripture, and as I said before, even in the proving that God is who he says he is. So prophecy is very important. Prophecy soon and the fulfillment of prophecy will emerge in a grand way that all in the world will understand. It's not going to be done in a corner. God is going to be giving to the whole world the knowledge of his word. And the only conclusion that people will come to when they begin to see these things transpire is the fact that God is working in the environment of mankind, that he is already showing his interest in mankind as we approach the end of the age. People will begin to understand, many of them for the first time, that God has a master plan here for everyone on earth. That each of us, and that includes you, and means me, that means everyone who is living in the earth today, no matter what race, what society, what kind of a political environment you're in or they are in, they are all fitting into a grand plan that God has devised before the foundation of this world. In fact, the reason for this world, the reason for the earth in our solar system and in the universe, is in order for us to be born into it, to experience our 60, 70, 80, or 90 years, or whatever, and to be able to become more like he is, because you see, we are destined to be, and we are the very children of Almighty God. We are like God, or rather, God is like us. No, it's better to say that we are like God, because God is the one who has created us to be in his image, to be in his likeness. And he has a master plan that he has ordained before the foundation of the world, which involves the role of his firstborn son, Jesus Christ, who was in existence before the foundation of this world, in order to come into the world some 2,000 years ago as a baby, and to live on this earth for a little over 30 years, to die on the tree of crucifixion, to be resurrected from the dead, to return to the Father, and then to be in a heavenly environment for about another almost 2,000 years before he returns to this earth in glory and to establish his kingdom here on this earth. Now, the establishment of that kingdom, that is the emergence of the day of the Lord, as it's called both in the Old Testament and the New Testaments, to be able to bring that to pass involves the fulfillment of prophecies. Prophecies that God has uttered as far back as the Garden of Eden in a nascent form, but getting more definitive in the time of Moses, and more particularly in the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And we find Christ Jesus coming into the prophecies in a magnificent way and in a way which is very definitive with the New Testament prophecies, and particularly those that we find in the book of Revelation, which deals with the time of the end. And we are approaching that time right now. Prophetic events in 1996 and beyond means that we are soon to emerge into that period called the end of the age. In one way, we are already in it. We're in the preliminary. We're in the threshold section of that age, just to begin. But when it definitely starts, the world itself will begin to heed the knowledge that God will be giving at that time. And that knowledge is going to involve major events in the world. They are going to be political events. They're going to be natural events. They're going to be events in the heavens. And even the skies will begin to show signs of the imminent coming of Christ Jesus back to this earth and the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. And just like we find John the Baptist beginning in the very start of New Testament teaching to introduce Jesus into the world around 6 months before Christ began his preaching, John the Baptist was found in the wilderness of Judea and in the plains of Jordan and in the areas east of Jerusalem, telling the people to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. What he meant was that the king who was born and as a human being was going to be teaching the initial start of that gospel. We find, however, that the day of the Lord that he was speaking about is to occur or will occur and after around a 2,000-year period. Now, that is found in the chronological prophecies of the scripture. But he began to say, repent, which simply means to change your attitude, to change your mind, to change your way of life. Because a revolution, John the Baptist was saying, a revolution was underway, and even the heavens were being shaken by the things that were taking place in the time of John the Baptist. But 6 months later, our Lord himself began to preach and began to teach to the Jews what of that time, about the coming kingdom of God on this earth. He began to reiterate the same thing that John the Baptist was doing. He was saying, repent of your ways, because the kingdom of God is at hand. How did he know, how did they know that was occurring? Because of prophecy, because of the time period in which they were living. God introduced that time period with the birth of Jesus Christ into this earth right on a very significant prophetic day. That day, according to Revelation chapter 12, and it's pinpointed astronomically, just like a celestial clock, which is exactly accurate, more accurate than an atomic clock that we have today. We find that John, the revelator, that is, giving the revelation of Jesus Christ, gave the exact time for the birth of Jesus into this world, and it came, or it happened, at a prophetic time period which was highly significant. That happened to be the day of the new year for the Jewish calendar, for God's calendar. That day is known as Rosh Hashanah, which means the Day of Trumpets, a highly significant time period in which Jesus was introduced into this world. And that day, the Day of Trumpets, was in 3 BC. It was a time around which many heavenly signs were taking place. Most of you, I hope, have read my book about the Star of Bethlehem. It is called The Star That Astonished the World. Now, that title is a perfectly good one because it certainly has astonished the world. It astonished the world in the past because we know it's astonished modern astronomers who have observed what was happening back at that period of time when our Lord was introduced into this world as a baby. And that star that Matthew talked about can now be identified. And what we find Matthew describing is perfectly accurate, according to the rules and regulations of modern astronomy that has caused modern astronomers, many of them quite secular by nature and having no religious basis or bias, yet at the same time they are saying that that star, or what was happening with a series of conjunctions and relationships dealing with that star back in the year 3 to 2 BC, was absolutely outstanding. It was celestial pageantry at its greatest. Now, if God was going to introduce and did introduce his son back at that period of time, so that the whole world, the whole habitable earth, it means whether you were in the Eastern Hemisphere or in the Western Hemisphere, it made no difference. Even the people who were over here in the Americas at the time, whether in South America, North America, the people of Africa, the people of Asia, the people of Europe, all people on earth witnessed the celestial occurrences that were taking place in the first century BC, at the end of it, in 3 to 2 BC, up to 1 BC, at the time that our Lord was introduced to this world. Even the Apostle Paul in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans mentions how important that voice, that message, that teaching, that astronomical teaching, with that prophetic teaching which the astronomical bodies were proclaiming at that time, that it went out into the entirety of the world. And it was so significant and so outstanding that even Magi from the east made a long and arduous journey to King Herod asking for the king of the Jews. They didn't ask if a king of the Jews had been born. They said, where is the king of the Jews that had been born? They were utterly convinced that something magnificent and supernatural had taken place, and they themselves wanted to do homage to this newborn king that was introduced back there some 2,000 years ago. Now, if God himself, the Father, introduced his son as a baby into the world, a baby, by the way, which was very helpless. You know, when that baby was born, when Jesus was born, he was as helpless as you and I when we were born. He had no more power and authority of himself than you and I when we were born. You and I can be identified with him in relationship to that same condition. It's most remarkable that theologically we are related to him, because when he was born into the world back there some 2,000 years ago, theologically speaking, that's the same time that you were introduced to the world, because you see, we were attached to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. That is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. And we have been identified with Christ in his birth. We have been identified in Christ when he was circumcised 8 days later, when he was a helpless child even at that time. We have become identified with Christ when he began to teach, when he began to keep the law of God, when he pleased the Father in everything that he did back there while he was teaching. We've been identified with him in the eyes of the Father, when he was crucified on the tree of crucifixion. And we've also been identified with Jesus at the time of his resurrection, when he was resurrected from the dead, which, by the way, was a fulfillment of prophecy itself. Isaiah 7:14, and other scriptures, which identified the time that Jesus would be introduced to the world and also at a time of his crucifixion. All of these things were found in the Old Testament legislation. Now, if these things were occurring at the first time that Jesus came into the world, what do you think God will do when the second time comes? When he comes not as a helpless baby, but he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he comes to straighten out this world. When he comes this time, when he says to repent and to change your attitude, he is going to bring the kingdom of God on this earth. And I'll tell you, it is going to be a social system introduced on this earth, which is going to be fundamentally different than what we have today. People are going to be able to understand that God is working in human nature. God is working in divine nature, too, that we have. God is working through his prophetical scheme, which he has ordained before the foundation of this world, before the beginning of the earth. James the apostle, who was the half-brother, or brother of Jesus even, in Acts chapter 15, said that all things were known by the Father from the very beginning. And that includes our day here, right now, as we are closing the 20th century. Here we are in April of 1996, and we're closing in on that period of time known as the end of the age, when Jesus Christ will come back from heaven in power and in glory. And there are prophecies in the scripture, chronological prophecies, which show the time period generally in which he will arrive. Let me tell you, though, right now, and I'm going to be explicit on this, there is not a one of us here on this earth today, and that includes Ernest L. Martin, that knows the precise time when Jesus will come back. We can know, however, the general period, and we are closing in on that date. Now, some people will say, they've been saying that for generations and generations, and all the time it seems like it's failed. That is even made known in the scripture, that it would be that way. But you know, the world, as I'm going to show in a few moments, they're going to be staggered by what they see coming up here in the next few years, because these events that are prophesied to occur on the immediate horizon to us are not events which are going to be done in a corner. They're going to be done in the wide open spaces for everyone to observe. There is a reason why television and other means of communication, which we have available today, instantaneous communications around the world for all practical purposes. There are many reasons why these things have been invented and God has allowed to happen, not only for our own entertainment, but for the teaching of the gospel, to be able to show the fulfillment of prophecies. And now, in your own living room, you can see what is happening in certain areas of the world that happens immediately. And you're going to be able to witness these things personally And some of these things you're going to be experiencing yourself personally, and you and your family. So we had better be knowing what God has prophesied. And you know something, there's one thing I will like to say right at the very beginning on matters of prophecy. Prophecy is not something, or the fulfillment of prophecies, they are not something that should be feared if you are a member of the family of God and you know these things. God says that these lessons are for all of us, that's true, but yet at the same time, you can have advance warning of these things and even take into consideration ways of safety that God can give to you. In fact, other ways which you are not capable of understanding, God will take care of that. And you know, we're all in His hands. We're all members of His family. And He's bringing these things to pass to show His power, to show His authority, to show His sovereignty in our lives and in the lives of everyone, angelic and human or whatever, in the entirety of this universe. And the Bible is His word. People are going to be able to realize in the next few years that the Bible is not some romantic folklore of an ancient Jewish people, some clans living in the Middle East who had some crazy dreams and visions and things like that, and ancient ideas which they just wrote down into a book, which finally out of its own origination becomes our Holy Bible. No, it's not that way at all. They're going to realize that this Holy Scripture is put together by divine authority in a way which makes sense from beginning to end. And it has a highly symbolic as well as symmetrical harmony to it, which people are going to see and they're going to witness. And it's going to be people in the world who are now, at this present moment, quite skeptical of the Bible. And I don't blame them for being skeptical at the Bible in many ways. You know, it's not the Bible that's at fault with the skepticism that we now see in the world, in the scientific world, in the philosophical world, in the educational institutions that we find. It's not so much that the people themselves are disdainful of the Holy Scripture. I'll tell you who they are disdainful of and which is going to happen very evidently in the next few years. They're going to be disdainful of the people who claim to be the representatives of God, who have been telling them a bunch of lies for years and years and years about the Holy Scripture. They've been saying that the Holy Scripture says this, or the Holy Scripture says that, or God says you do this, and God says you do that, when it's the exact diametric opposite that God has been saying in the Holy Scripture. They're going to find that it's not the Holy Scripture that's at fault. It's the people who have claimed to be the representatives of God who have been at fault. And I want to tell you, Ernest Martin has been one of them. In the past, when I first started out teaching the gospel, my goodness, I was honest and I was sincere. But I had to learn that many of the things that I held with utmost belief and conviction were errors that I had learned from my dear and loving parents and from my teachers that I happen to love very much. And you know something, they weren't at fault in many of these things, because God also has a divine plan to hide people's minds, to put scales over their eyes, to put stoppers in their ears, so that they cannot see some of these things that are just as clear as you can imagine once you get the Spirit of God directing you in the right direction. Now, I'll tell you this, I still don't know it all yet, and you don't either. But we are on the way to understanding things much better than we used to. Because at this end of the age, where the prophecies say that knowledge is going to be increased. And if you want to know the number one thing that you should be looking for, the number one thing from 1996 onward, I mean starting now, and in particular, I'm going to come into I'm going to just mention 1998 right now. On the second side of this lecture, or on this tape, I will mention 1998 in a specific sense. But you know, here we are in 1996, and we're approaching a crucial date in 1998. Why is it crucial? Because it happens to be exactly 2,000 years from the first advent of our Lord into this world. And God works in cycles. That's one thing the Bible shows, clearly and plainly. He works in cycles that people can understand, and that He can understand. And He's put the motions of the heavens out there in the celestial realm to be able to give a time clock, along with His written word, to be able to see when things will begin to develop and happen in the world. And if He introduced the Christ child as a baby, That is, as a baby is helpless as any other baby into the world, but with such a grand fanfare, a celestial pageantry that you just cannot imagine unless you will have experienced it yourself. And you can do that by a computer nowadays, as a matter of fact, or going to a planetarium and seeing what was actually happening back there. If God the Father did that to introduce his baby son into the world that grew up, what is he going to do when he introduces his son coming as a king? Do you see the point? Some things are going to be revealed pretty soon. And I think this anniversary, the Rosh Hashanah of 1998, just a little over 2 years from now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know that God works in cycles. And he introduced his Christ child back into the world back 2,000 years ago almost now with a great fanfare. And I believe he's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake this earth. And people are going to be able to understand that he is the God of the Bible, that the Bible makes sense, that the Bible is a reliable word. And though there are things in the Bible that people don't understand, and certain figures of speech and things like that that they wonder about sometimes, it's not the Bible that's at fault. It's our lack of understanding and interpreting it that's at fault. And most of our interpreters have been giving the exact opposite teachings from what the Bible says. And that is even prophesied. I'm going to show it to you in just a few moments. That God's been in all of this. He's in all of it. He's not way off somewhere, you know, in the heavens and just letting the earth carry on naturally. He is intimately, he is knowledgeable of everything that is happening on this earth. He is very well aware of it. He is sitting there, so to speak, with all the controls in front of him, and he's pulling the levers, and he's pushing the buttons. And he is the one that's doing it. And he's doing it in your life, your own personal life, whether you realize it or not. And one of these days, we're going to realize it. God loves each one of us. He knows what he's doing. He's got a prophetic plan for every single one of us. And you know, the interesting thing about it is that when God, in his prophecies, mentions earth-shaking events, which you think could have nothing to do with you personally, let me tell you this. You are a part of this earth. You are a part of the environment. You are a very part of the personalities that he is interesting and convicting as far as knowledge and understanding is concerned. He wants to show you who he is. He is the Father, because I'll tell you something. He and Christ Jesus have a grand plan for you in the future, for me, for all of us. We are the very children of God. We're here to rule and to govern. And not only that, to enjoy the entirety of this universe. And he wants us to be aware by an educational manner, in an educational manner, what it's like to be a full-grown, adult, mature child, not a child as a baby, but as a offspring of no less than God the Father, who is the one who controls everything in the universe. Now, that's what prophecy is all about. It's here to teach you. It's here to give you confidence. It's here to give me confidence in the Word of God. And there are many sections of that Word of God, the Holy Bible I'm talking about, and I've written on this subject at length, and if you want to know what books belong in the Scripture, get my book on Restoring the Original Bible. You'll see exactly what books belong in the Bible and what books that are circulating around the environment of the Holy Scripture on the outside door, so to speak, that don't belong in there. And you will know what God's Word is, and you'll see how symmetrically balanced it is in all of its factors. And once you begin to see these things, you'll begin to understand that God is a scientist. God is a literary genius. He's not only that, he has power and authority to bring these things to pass. So we're going to look on the B section of this cassette tape a little bit more about what the prophetic events are for 1996 and beyond. But they're going to involve a restoring of knowledge to this world. That is the key prophecy of all, is the restoring of knowledge. And it's going to be a restoration that's going to involve all things that God deals with on this earth are going to be restored in a way that people will say, God is in charge. You know, that is what we need to realize. If God is in charge, he has a law book. He has a book of instruction. He has a book that will direct you in right paths, paths so that you can live triumphantly, harmoniously with nature, with God, that is, with Him and His ways. That book is called today the Holy Bible. He would call it the Holy Scriptures, the Writings, or the Law of God. This is the law here which God has given to us to show how our lives can be governed and why we are here, where we're going, why we have this existence at the present time. And it's a glorious one. This world needs to know these things. That's why God wants you to know them. That's why He has called you at this particular time to be able to help to get out the gospel message. And the gospel message is not walking down the sawdust trail and shaking a preacher's hand. Now, I'm not denigrating that. Many people have done that and started out on the right way. Okay, I understand that. But that is not the main thing. What we find is it's understanding by your mind why you are here, and most particularly, who you are. Who you are. The one I'm talking to right now. Put your name right in there. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself, that's right, but I'm talking to you. Now, if you're in China, I'm talking to you. If you're in Great Britain, I'm talking to you. If you're in South Africa, I'm talking to you. If you're in Portland, Oregon, like I am, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of us who are human beings, because what we are destined to become happens to be something more glorious than anyone on this earth could manufacture of his or her own mind. The philosophy of the Scripture is a wonderful philosophy because it happens to be the teaching of God Almighty. What we need to do is to see these prophecies come alive, and they're going to start very shortly. We're going to be able to see very shortly some of these magnificent prophecies that God has given to the world. And they're not going to be done in a corner. They're going to be done where all the world will see them. And just as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was introduced as a helpless baby some 2,000 years ago, almost now, with a grand fanfare by the celestial bodies coming together in a most wonderful way that even the world was astonished by it back at that time. And modern astronomers, secular astronomers, are astonished at this time. Get ready for some fireworks, because from now on we're going to start seeing things happen that will astonish the world, the modern world, to introduce the King back to this earth. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the B-side of this lecture.